He is Charles Gallant, user experience designer and plumber of perception.
Wow. He is Aubrey Goodman, engineer and seer of truths. That's right.
It's definitely right. I mean, when I'm being humble, but that almost never happens. And this is a lovely show we love to call Distilled. Welcome. You can find us on iTunes, on Podomatic. Just search for Distilled. Occasionally, you can find us at open mic night, spouting poetic things into a microphone in the public library where no one's listening. And we're pissing people off. It's probably the most inappropriate thing you could imagine. No. This show is all about technology, product development, design, and often puppies. We like puppies.
Why not? Why not add puppies? No good. There's no good answer.
We need, they talk about this, the pepper shaker. Like, we need a puppy shaker.
Sure.
Yeah. Just sprinkle a little puppy onto your dinner.
There's always room.
Always room. So, yeah, we're just going to dive right in. It's been a couple of long weeks since our last show. And so we're gonna dive right in. This week we're gonna talk about some fun April Fool's things that you can never really tell if it's a product or just a joke. Mm-hmm. And the primary topic, hopefully not the only topic, was the Amazon Dash, which I think is not an actual joke product. It's like real.
No, that's totally real.
I saw
thing.
People talking about getting like shipping notifications. It's either the biggest hoax ever, including like bringing in FedEx and UPS and DHL, whoever else is doing shipping, and
yeah,
you know, they're doing a masterful job of trolling all of us, or it's actually a real thing.
I think Amazon should know better than to release something that close to April Fool's Day, that close to the day where the internet is famous for joke products,
for fake shit.
Come on, if it's a thing you care about, like, wait a couple of days. Like,
yeah. I mean, I'd like to really get in touch with the Amazon PR folks and talk about it. Like, did they mean to launch? Maybe that could be part of the buzz. You know, it's like, is it real? Is it not?
Maybe
it's a strange product.
That's actually a really good point. You know what? I bet you that if there was an argument to be made about it, it's like, no, it's because we know that it'll make people think about it, and we expect some people to take it as a joke. No matter what, we might as well lean into it and get the extra press.
Yeah, for sure. So we're going to talk for the next 27 minutes about that, which is, we should probably tell the lovely audience members, I say members, hopefully there's not just one of you, plural, the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
So Amazon Dash is a puppy shaker. No, we'll get to that later. It's a product that allows you to tie an inventory item that you've purchased previously from Amazon into a one-click, physically a one-click button that's in real life, not on a screen somewhere.
Yeah, so it looks like something you might have around your keychain or something you might use to open a garage door. But basically, it's just a button, put simply, that you hook up to your Wi-Fi router. It's Wi-Fi, right?
I know nothing.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain.
I think you're right.
Wi-Fi and
makes sense.
Configured with a mobile app, of course, and you put it right next to products that you buy all the time. So, for example, you know, the one I, you know, personally could see it being used for is like for laundry detergent or like dryer sheets.
Yeah.
When I need another one of those, I put this thing on the side of the dryer. It's not a product that I think about needing to refill, but when I do, it's important for me to add that to the list of things I need to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Tap this button, and it does just that. It connects to a web service that can, I'm assuming, either buy it automatically or add it to a wish list.
Yeah,
from there, you could choose to buy it later.
I think the goal of it, because it's a one-click buy, it's designed to be not just a add to wish list or add to cart, but actually like full on purchase.
I'd be surprised if they forced that, though. You know,
I don't though. I mean, if you think about like Amazon, what is it? Prime has a local, like Amazon Fresh has like this on-demand sort of shipping thing. Sure. So you can get your groceries. You need to buy like one piece of broccoli. You can just buy it. It's a dollar. They'll send it to you.
But
you'll just get it like the next day or even the same day. They're talking about trying to get Amazon deliveries within 4 hours of making an online purchase. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely cool. I just from a like usability standpoint, I think that button's going to get hit by accident. Like it will happen. And so if they've designed it to automatically and always connect to money transferring, I think sure. Like I could see the option to turn that on if you really want it, but I don't know. It makes me a little nervous. I think I'd be surprised if they didn't have it just add to a wish list first. You know,
I can see that, but that's sort of a timid sort of thing that I don't really see Amazon doing. They tend to be kind of front runners. I mean, they were talking about the drone delivery. No one's going to do that. Nobody's even going to talk about it publicly unless they really mean that sort of stuff. So to me, it feels like, yeah, they're talking about it, and it's not like a thing that they can even do legally yet. The drone thing, of course, like they they can't. They can't do that. But I feel like if they're going to put a thing out that says you can mash this button, and that means I want to buy this thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking advantage of some of the one-click buy dynamics. I mean, they have a patent on this.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, regarding web purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an unnatural extension to think that they would take advantage of that same thing. I mean, just leveraging existing intellectual property to say, oh, we're going to make an actual button, an actual meat space that is an order this thing now. And whether that gets added to a cart, see, again, I want to take a sidebar on this for a second and kind of, I don't know, discuss for a minute the idea of a shopping cart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be that shopping cart was a really physical metaphor, not just a metaphor, but an actual cart on the actual ground with actual goods in it, in the actual grocery store or wherever. And I think I've just used up my actual quota. I just get a minus one for that last one.
Right.
But you had this cart, this metal thing with weird wheels that never work, and it always pushes a little bit to the left.
Right.
And it has stuff in it.
And it fulfills the need to...
Sometimes kids ride in it.
Fulfills the need to group items together that you will eventually purchase and then sort of confirm that you indeed want to purchase them.
Yeah. But now we have Apple Pay and eventually maybe Google Wallet if they figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability to not just... Like, credit cards give us the ability to swipe a thing at the end of our journey through the store to buy the things in our cart.
Yeah.
In a very real and visceral way. But now, you know, we extended that into the Amazon world and web purchasing, and there was this bit called cart abandonment. I'm going to make a joke for a minute about have you ever seen a shopping cart just sitting in the store with ice cream melting in it? Sure. I want to know the drama surrounding that. Is it somebody got a call from their mom? It was I broke my hip.
Somebody died.
They had to leave. They sprint out of the store.
Yeah. Maybe someone got someone ascended. Someone got pulled up.
Just clothes on the floor now.
Yeah.
Where grandma used to be.
Yeah, exactly.
They had themselves a Ben Kenobi moment.
Yeah.
And I just wonder about this stuff. It used to be that in order to abandon a cart, you had to physically walk away from a thing that you had invested. You would put stuff into it.
I think those people are just in other aisles of the store. I think they're just I forgot something in that aisle.
Yeah.
They go back and get their toothbrush, and then they come back to desserts, you know?
Yeah, and then someone has walked away with their cart. Dane Cook makes a joke about this. He's like, have you ever thought about going into a grocery store and somebody else had just walked around the store already and with a cart and put a bunch of stuff in it that you want, and you just walk up to it and you're like, what? Jackpot? And you just walk away with this stuff. You're like, somebody's already pre-configured my cart.
It'd be kind of nice.
See, this is great. So getting back into the digital side of this, it makes me think that's what Amazon is trying to do. They're trying to Dane Cook you. They want you to walk to just sign in and be like, oh, here's my card of shit I already want. I know I want it because I've maybe told you about it, or maybe you're farming my Twitter account or
certainly with the recommendations they want. They want to give their best guess at what you probably want to buy. And I think, you know, the whole story of the Dash is that it's about being in the right place at the right time, right? It's in that exact moment when you pull that last dryer sheet out of the bin mm-hmm. and you say to yourself, crap, I need more dryer sheets, for you to be able to buy dryer sheets right there. Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, it is something that feels like, let's pretend like you do just buy it on the spot. It is like sort of a one-time siloed purchase from anything else. But it's funny because when I shop on Amazon now, like, I know that I can save on shipping by grouping things together. And that's the way that a cart works too, and a store works, by taking multiple items, putting them together in one thing, and mm-hmm. it's more efficient to shop that way, right? It's one purchase versus several. There's like a little bit slightly smaller fees and things like that. And so this notion of being able to group things into a cart is still there. Now, you brought up Apple Pay and in-app purchases, mm-hmm. right? So what's funny about that is you're right, it totally breaks there, right? There's no concept of like ever needing to like group you know, purchases I make in separate apps into one like larger purchase.
Except that is that exactly happens. What Apple does.
But it does it behind you. Yeah, it does it behind the scenes for you, right? So what's, but you know, the concept of all that remains sort of the same. So I wonder for people who are used to going to the grocery store, which is kind of everybody, for things like dryer sheets, you know, if this product is going to raise the question of like, hey, shouldn't I be grouping this as part of like a larger thing? And if it is just a one-time purchase and it's not, as I mentioned before, just adding it to a wish list or a cart, is it going to somehow be less efficient if I just tap this one thing? And is that what I'm really paying for, being able to buy it on the spot here? Is that sort of the convenience fee that this product gives me, or is it something else? I don't know.
Yeah, see, I feel like they're banking on the Amazon Fresh or Amazon Local or whatever the hell they're going to call it eventually. Mm-hmm. Probably Fresh. They're banking on that thing as an on-demand economy thing. Mm-hmm. So they're banking on, you're going to add this to your cart, and maybe later in the day you're going to, oh, I need some cat litter, press that button. Oh, now I need some more beer, press that button.
Yeah.
Like three times. Then I need some whatever it is. Oh, I just rented a movie.
Yep.
Like eventually they're just going to send you a one monthly bill because it doesn't matter. It's not a transactional thing to them.
Standing bill.
They already
from Amazon.
Have your credit card.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're not going to consume that stuff. Mm-hmm. They don't need to charge you every single time.
Yeah. That'd be an interesting idea, right? What if Amazon just sent me like a monthly bill from Amazon?
That was, well, just like in the case of Prime, that seems like the natural progression to me.
Yeah, well, there's the payment for the Prime service itself, and then there's
They're locking you into a future contract of purchase. Like, they're saying, you get free shipping if you buy this whatever dollars a year. You pay us once a year for the privilege of buying more shit,
mm-hmm.
which is amazingly awesome for them.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
like, they're, like, really duping you in some way. But they're not, because it's, like, something you want. So it's just a mutually beneficial conversation that you're having with this vendor.
Yeah, and it's a commitment. It's a saying, look, you know, exactly. I know that I'm committing to Amazon because it's an easy thing for me to look to Amazon first as a place to make purchases. Yeah,
yeah. They're making themselves the first thing, the top of mind choice.
Yeah.
You could have six choices in your head about where you might go to buy this thing, but the more they improve that user experience, the mm-hmm. buying experience of that, the more friction they remove from that transaction, the less it even feels like a transaction and just a conversation. You're like, hey, I could really use some Tide. They're like, that's cool, man. How about that local sports team? And in the process, they're like adding that shit to your cart. And then 3 days later, you get a shipment. Or even like later that day, someone knocks on your door. They're like, hey, here's your Tide. You're like, wow.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this an hour ago.
Yeah.
So if they can do that without... Like, again, it's the friction, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that, like, this is the big deal with cart abandonment,
mm-hmm.
and why I mentioned in the first place is you would not abandon a physical cart in a store because you feel bad about, like, the eggs rotting,
yep.
or whoever has to clean up, like, oh, fuck, we're going to have to put all this stuff back.
Yeah, there's some real physical
right.
problems.
But when there's a digital interaction, it changes entirely how you perceive that experience. And so you're so much more likely to abandon it, just like a Tinder match. You're like, swipe right for whoever. And when it actually matches, you're like, oh, fuck, now I have to think about this even more. Like, I was just a whim. I was drunk. I fucking swipe right on everything. But now you're like, oh, man, this girl actually wants to maybe talk to me.
Yeah.
I have to make another choice.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If it was an actual person in an actual, wherever you are, and you're like on the street or in a bar or in a library or at the grocery store, you know,
mm-hmm.
those are places where you have interactions with actual people. So
right.
if you find like a pretty girl in the grocery store and you're like, hey, looks like you like the same things I do.
Mm-hmm.
I love that yogurt, you know?
Right.
Sometimes that really works and relationships actually form out of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're on the web, you don't know if that's like a dude masquerading as a girl.
Okay.
You know, so like
yeah.
there's a different social contract entirely. Like perception of that is very, very different.
Hmm.
So how you approach the idea of a shopping cart online is a very different thing than the shopping cart in
yeah.
real life.
Hmm.
So abandonment is a huge problem for online realtors. Retailers is
yeah.
the word. Realtors never make anything online. So
that's true.
Yeah.
True. I know what
so,
you meant.
So the online retail thing feels like you'd have a much, much higher, like maybe 5 times higher abandonment
right.
rate. So if people are abandoning.
Yeah. And there's a,
there's like, a reason.
There's a bunch of reasons for that. Yeah. Part of it is because they just want to add something to their cart and then get the shipping information, right? They want to type in all their info just to see how
right.
much shipping's going to cost and then they leave or
right.
they just get cold feet. And, you know, it's way easier to do that when you're sitting on your couch than it is when you're actually in a store and you are, you know, you've committed to buying all these things and you've got to, you're pushing around a huge
The
thing.
Interesting thing is you actually yeah. haven't. I
well,
don't want to really dive in too much
well, here's
into
the thing.
The,
well, when you go to
part.
A grocery store, you've scheduled it into your day. Sometimes you've driven to the grocery store. You've
yeah.
gotten out. You've, like, walked around. Like, there's a much bigger commitment there
oh,
than
absolutely.
There is online.
From
so
digital.
That's, and so
but
that's
not
why.
Zero. Like, not so much. It's not a permanent commitment. Like, when
totally.
You put something
yeah,
in
you
your...
you can always leave. Yeah.
Your, you can always just take it out and put it somewhere. Like, I've seen that everywhere.
Yeah, I wasn't
like,
definitely wasn't saying that. Yeah.
like, why are these Cocoa Puffs in the, like, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
the laundry aisle. Like, because
right.
somebody got, they were like a little too stoned when they picked them up. They put them in their car. They walked around. Like, oh, man, I really need to get some Tide. Okay, they go over to the laundry aisle. They pick it up. They're like, you know, I think, oh, shit, I actually already, I'm good, actually. I think I already have 2 boxes because I just remembered last time I did the same thing. So I'm going to take this out and just put it on the shelf wherever.
Yep.
And just like libraries, you find a book in a weird place.
Mm-hmm.
In shopping metaphor, you find things in weird places. And somebody's mm-hmm. job to find the shit that somebody else put there and take it to the right place.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually somebody like that in the library, too. But
right.
you're not buying books in the library. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of abandoning entirely is a totally different thing in person. Like, there's a substantial impetus that we have that's like... Like I said, like your mom fell down and broke her hip, and that's why you left abruptly, or like, oh shit, I left my dog in the car without the windows down.
Right.
And then you leave, and then Dane Cook comes up and takes your groceries.
Okay. Okay.
So.
I'm with you.
I'm going to stop hammering on the metaphor
no,
of abandonment.
yeah. So what do you think are the challenges for Amazon Dash? What do you think is going to be the hardest thing for them? To sort of, or what's in place of widespread adoption of Amazon Dash?
See, I feel like Dash itself is the golden ticket. Because they're leveraging something like Prime, presumably.
So nothing is the answer.
So they're putting a little tag. They're like, hey, we'll give you this thing. If they sell it to you, that's a problem. But if they give it to you and they say, all you have to do is whatever, like some simple little user experience. If it, again, it's going to come down to the user experience
mm-hmm.
of setting it up. If it's a one-time hassle and it's like 15 steps, fail. Like
yeah.
they're not going to, that's never going to work. But if it's like super, like smooth as silk,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be the easiest thing in the world. And just like Kaiser Soze, they're going to win before you even know. And by the time you realize they won, you already lost.
Oh, that's Amazon for you, right? But I think they've been a step
but you're happy
ahead.
About it.
Been
then
a,
I'm like
they've been a
way.
Step ahead of the game for a while, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's a great product. I think it's cool. I think it's. I think their biggest hurdle is going to be public perception and people being scared of having buttons that spend money when you press them, right? I think that's for a house with a bunch of kids, for maybe a business where like somebody might press it who shouldn't be pressing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think... there's probably a short list of situations where this is extremely useful, and that, for Amazon, that's probably enough, right? They've always been about like kind of just capturing all of the different use cases, and they're kind of kings of the long tail and in that sense, right? But yes. But there's going to be a lot of situations where this is totally inappropriate, right? Like. Well,
absolutely.
You know, like
you're
a
not
going to
see a hustler button.
Yeah, like a button that gets you more cookies that is in the reach of a child, right? Yeah. Like you know, simple things like that are the things that people are going to fixate on. And I think public opinion is going to be like, you know, those buttons are bad. And so, like, you know, the global perception will be that they're all bad, right? But, you know, that's why bumpers... There's a great John Oliver quote about, like, shit like that where he says, like, look, that's why bumper stickers aren't, like... You know, don't have like 10 lines of text on it and say, well, actually, the issue is a subtle shade of gray that, you know, takes some time and consideration to consider from all viewpoints. You know, like,
no.
It's just one big, bold idea. And
it's
that's
all punchline.
And that's
no detail.
The story of Amazon Dash, right? So
yeah.
I think it's a great product. It's going to work really well for a couple of people, and it's definitely worth Amazon doing. I'm really impressed that they did it. I just worry that. Everybody's going to write it off as like, oh my God, they're going to litter my house. Amazon wants my house to be littered with buy buttons. Oh, what a terrible company, you know? And I think that's a bunch of bull pucky.
I think there's a balance.
Yeah.
What I had originally heard of the Amazon Dash idea a few weeks ago was this idea of sort of a barcode scanner. So like a barcode scanner that you put on the fridge, maybe right out of reach of the children.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is when you're done with the product, oh, my cereal box is empty. You hold it up to Dash and it takes a photo and like scans the barcode essentially and mm-hmm. adds that. It makes a little sound.
Yeah. To a list.
Adds that to your next like to buy list.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little like a wish list, more like a want list.
Yeah.
A little like a checkout thing, but again, it's like you're not telling it, like, I want to put this in my cart, and then later I'm going to review those purchases. No.
Amazon needs to make a trash can that does this, so every time you throw something away, it knows, scans it. So that'd be a terrible that's idea, fantastic. But your trash can knows what's empty. Your trash
that's actually far more genius, I feel like, than any of what we've talked about so far.
There's a lot of terrible things that go in the trash can, too, that you probably don't want Amazon knowing about.
I cannot comment on this matter. That whole 20 minutes will be redacted if we were to talk about it. But we won't. I'll save myself the editing trouble. No, I feel like it would be great if it was an active thing where you say, instead of like buttons littering your house, because the batteries are going to run out, you're going to need more buttons.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a button race.
I like the camera. Buttons, like
yeah.
you're
the camera thing is actually yeah. genius because you're like, hey, here's a UPC. Deet. Okay, cool. Well, oh, wait, let me scan that. Deet. Okay, I want two of those. Like that way, it's a much easier social contract
and
with the device.
Yeah, and you get that it's, you know, you get a lot of things out of that, right? You get that any item could be attached to this thing. You get that it can work with multiple items. You get that... It's I think that's the more preferred thing. Then there's also an occasion in it, like a physical act that's a little hard, that's actually good, right? Because if it's too easy to spend money, right, like people get really nervous about that, you know? I mean, yeah. So I think if it's like an activity you have to go through, something has to be scanned and confirmed, and you could just like hold up an empty milk carton to this thing, say, I need more of this. Right, and it goes into a queue. I think that's really smart. But anytime you have a camera anywhere, it sort of begs the question, well, why wouldn't you just use a smartphone for that? And I think they actually have apps mm-hmm. that probably do that.
Yeah.
So it's funny. But
that's the other thing. Like when you're doing laundry, do you have your phone in your pocket?
But so, So that's the kind of the promise of a lot of things. That's why people are going to buy iWatches, right? It's because like, you know, it's a kind of single serving thing that exists physically because it reminds you of the occasion to do something, right? Mm. And I think that's what this Dash button does. Because, you know, in theory, if you had a really good Amazon home screen that had really good product recommendations and it was really good at estimating when you were about to be done with dryer sheets, mm-hmm. the Amazon app could do the exact same thing as Amazon Dash, right? But it doesn't exist in physical space and it's not a visible reminder and it's not this, like, one simple single-serving thing, right? And I think there's a big difference there. I mean, there's a big difference.
You mentioned something a minute ago that I really want to
I guess, plant in mm-hmm. the audience's mind, mm-hmm. all three of you.
In our listeners' mind.
Yes. Which is children pressing mm-hmm. buttons.
Yeah.
And so the expected use case of this thing, you get this little button. It's branded. It has a little Tide logo next to it because Tide wants to get more money. So they're going to put their brand. They're going to partner with Amazon.
Yeah.
To get their logo on there.
Yeah, I think that was like on the website.
That was the example. So they probably paid a lot more for just that.
Mm-hmm.
But moving past that, somebody, there have been, I don't even know how many, I've seen several TV commercials where back around like the .com boom where they're talking about like, oh, we made this website and now we can sell our shit online. And they're like, we have one order. And it's like, oh, wait, we have 5,000 orders. Oh, wait, we have 10,000 orders. Like, oh, in the first hour. And they're like, oh, shit. And then it cuts to like a cat pressing like the enter key on a keyboard.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So disambiguating or at least collapsing repeat accidental purchases is going to be the thing that differentiates Amazon above anyone else who tries to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be Amazon, but I think it will be because they're the ones with the most experience with this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
In the end, it's going to come down to customer service for, like, Zappos is a perfect example.
Oh, yeah.
You buy some shoes, you put them on, you're really excited they came in the mail so quickly. I mean, like, to the next day or 2 days later, you're like, mm-hmm. man, this is amazing. It's free shipping, and it came the next day. You put your shoes on, and they're like, just a little bit too much. Like, just a little too big or too small or too narrow, too wide, whatever it is, too something. And you think, okay, well, maybe, I don't know. And you wear them for an hour or whatever, walk around your house, you try them on, you figure it out, and then it doesn't work. So you take them off, and you put them back in the box.
Mm-hmm.
You go online, and you say, I want to return these.
Yep.
I want it for another size, whatever. You order another size, you send them back, they pay for that too, and then they pay for the other thing coming down to you. They do this 3, 4, 5 times if you really want. They would go to great lengths to sell you a pair of shoes that you want.
Yeah.
Because Tony Hsieh wants you to have a good buyer experience.
Well, that's the thing. Every single one of those touch points is just highly refined and awesome.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think, you know, just back to Dash for a second, I think the real story of Amazon is it's these moves like the quadcopter delivery, right? Or the, I'm trying to think of something else, you know, all these weird things that they're talking about that position themselves as future thinkers, right? Even
exactly.
These things aren't necessarily designed to be used in mass. In part, they're designed to make Amazon look really, really good as press pieces, right? I mean, like, I don't think anyone is doubting that Amazon is absolutely the leader in online shopping and online commerce. And, you know, it's to me, like, products like the Dash are as much about PR and recruiting for Amazon than they are about actually providing customers a need. And I wonder how, where Dash sits on that spectrum of do they really expect everybody to use Dash, or is it just kind of one of those things just to, like, remind everyone the Dash exists? And it's kind of something we started talking about, which is like, look, wouldn't it be funny if they actually expected it to be a huge April Fool's story?
They're like, we didn't really mean any of that.
And then it was just like, look, like, maybe this is all just a bunch of PR brilliance, right? But anyway.
But I feel like that maybe that's what the buttons are. And maybe the actual product, this is...
They're reminders that Amazon is a thing?
No, not even that. Just like, the buttons were a known silly product because a kid is going to buy like click, 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 or like, oh, accidentally fell into the laundry and now like gets bounce, 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 and over and over and over. It's going to order like the UPS guy's like, shit, I've got 95 tubs of Tide for you. And you're like, I only ordered 0 though. I don't even.
Yeah.
What do you even talk? Oh, that right. That button. Shit. My kid must have been playing with that thing, or my dog put it in his mouth and bit, 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 bit. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or that's the hoax, and the real product is the camera, and they're going to do that.
Because
that feels like the evolution of it. Because the camera is multi-purpose, right? Like, you have to have a button for every product. You'd have to register it with every single UPC, and that doesn't work. Like, I don't even really understand how that would even... You know, when it really gets down to the details, I don't get that.
Yeah.
But the camera, though, is a thing that could actually work and actually make a lot of people's lives a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting for sure.
Yeah. We will see. And at this point, we are out of time. So hopefully some of you have already ordered an Amazon Dash and can maybe write back to us and let us know. Oh, and I forgot to mention, and I pretty much forgot to mention every other time since Charles has joined the show, that if you ever want us to talk about anything in particular, you can just tweet or Instagram or whatever social media people are using these days with the hashtag distilled topics. And we will pick those up and hopefully eventually talk about it on the show.
Sweet.
Yeah. So
distilled topics.
That's it.
Easier to say than our other hashtag was wasp's nests. We considered using for the same purpose. A little bit easier to say.
So many S's.
Not too much easier, but just a little bit easier.
So spectacularly sincere.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks. Go buy some stuff on Amazon and
push some buttons.
But not ours. Thanks for listening, folks.